and welcome once again to Percolated Media Presents. I say once again, but this is my first show of the year. Thank you, everybody. This was a show I wanted to put together after last week. We lost somebody who, well, to say that Hulk Hogan had a complicated legacy would be an understatement. I definitely wanted to talk about him, but thing about it is, I wasn't sure who to bring on. Did I want to bring on Matt? Well, Matt grew up at a time when that legacy was pretty much shattered. And me and Adam, well, we've always had arguments over the fact that Bret Hart was a better wrestler. And him being a Bret Hart fan made that not happen. So what I decided to do is I decided to bring on an old friend of mine, somebody who I've spoken about wrestling deaths with in a past life, but we were always discouraged from doing it over there. Here, I can do whatever the fuck I want. So I want to bring Batch here. We're going to talk about 40 minutes or so, about the complicated legacy of Hulk Hogan, what he meant to us as kids growing up, what we thought as Hulkamania started to die down, and then, of course, NWO Hogan. Gotta tell you right now, man, this conversation does get a little disjointed. We kind of go off in a whole bunch of different directions, but Batch is very, very fun. Always great to talk to that guy, and we give some genuine feelings out there about Hulk Hogan. Man, passed away, age of 71. Hulk Hogan will always mean a lot to me. The character, not necessarily the person, the character. Which we also kind of distinguish over the course of this conversation. So, all right, grab onto something because this conversation kind of goes all over the place, but I thought it was a fitting tribute on this network to the one and only Hulk Hogan. Enjoy. And I am here with Batch. Batch, I haven't spoken to you it's been years, man. Years.
It's been a while since I complained about X-Men on another network.
That was the last time, wasn't it? And
I think so.
And I think those shows
ever since.
I think those shows have been lost to the ether.
Oh no.
Yeah. So me and you have been creating our own thing. You know, me and Matt and Adam started our own network, and go ahead, talk a little bit before we get to our topic at hand. Go ahead, talk a little bit about what you've been doing lately.
Hey, everybody. It's your old buddy Batch, formerly of another network, but I am one part of Pop4D with the one and only Mark Chevalier. And for the last few years, we've been actually doing Web Tales of Spider-Man podcast, where we tell classic issues, the amazing Spider-Man from the beginning to the present day. And I've also been collaborating with the good folks of Super Marcy and Bede at the Super Network. And we've done a little show called the Tubi Tuesdays. So for the last 5 years, we've watched terribly awesome movies on Tubi. And the show has morphed into a fever dream with characters and storylines and nonsense. Yeah, so I don't even know what's real anymore. Like, Craven's basically become my alter ego online. And I don't know where I end and he begins. So, but we're not tired to talk about Craven or Champions or any of that nonsense today. We're talking about a real American, brother.
Real American who we lost this last week. And, you know, Batch, it's weird. You and I, we at the other place, we seem to talk a lot about these instances when it happens. Like, you and I spoke up, me, you and Luke spoke about Roddy Piper. We spoke about Dusty Rhodes on that network.
Yes.
And I felt
as much as they didn't want us to.
As much as they didn't want us to. And here we could do whatever the hell we want because it's my fucking network.
Exactly. That's my attitude.
I thought it was apropos to bring you on because I love Matthew Gaudreau to death. We talk wrestling all the time, but the problem is he kind of grew up around the time when things were going downhill for Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
And Adam's a huge Hitman fan, and all he'd probably do is talk about how much Hogan screwed him in his career. So I didn't want to bring those two on. I wanted to bring you on because we grew up in the same time, same era.
Yep.
And
leave a Canadian to talk about a real American.
And I just felt it was fitting that I bring you on because I wanted to kind of keep this mostly positive. We'll bring up the bad stuff towards the end.
Well, before we go any further, we need to start with a...
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
We're talking Hulk Hogan.
We are talking Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
Who passed away last week at the time we record this at the age of 71. Just surreal. Mm-hmm. I got to say. Go ahead.
It was a hard week. As a man who just turned 50 years old, it was a hard week for me. First Ozzy, then Hogan.
I know.
I was like, somebody check on Tommy Chong now because he's old.
Why don't you go ahead and start up with how you became acquainted with Hogan growing up, and you
know, how I became a little Canadian Hulkamaniac.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like 85, I was 10 years old. So I was like prime time market for like all of that era of rock and wrestling. I'll never forget. One of my first memories sitting down to the VHS of the first WrestleMania with Mr. T and Hulk Hogan against Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff and Cowboy Bob Orton with his cast and Jimmy Snuka as the enforcer. And I think it was Muhammad Ali as the ref, right?
He was outside.
Yeah. I know he was involved somewhere. So, but But I had the Hulkamania workout set. I had best Christmas ever was the Christmas I got all the LJN Vickers. Amazing. So I got the entire lineup. I got the ring. So I had the big rubber guy. I have no idea where any of that is right now, but it's gone in the ether. But yeah, I've always been a bit of a Hulkamaniac growing up. But then I kind of grew out of it, as we all did. But then the NWO hit and I was back in, baby. I was Hollywood all the, for life all the way.
Yeah, my story is pretty similar, except I'm trying to remember. See, I didn't really get in around the first two WrestleManias. I got in through Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling because I used to watch Saturday morning cartoons all the time.
Yeah.
And around the time I was getting into that, I turned on, out of nowhere, I turned on a segment of Piper's Pit where Andre the Giant turned on Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
That was when I fell in love with the product. That was when I fell in love with wrestling. And I think what people seem to forget, Batch, is they seem to bring up a lot of all the negative things, you know, the lies and everything else. Mm-hmm. But if it weren't for Hulk Hogan,
none of this would be here.
None of us, exactly. None of us would be watching the product. This product would probably have disappeared into the ether. I mean, who knows if McMahon would have gone out of business or whatever. But, I mean, just talk about, from your perspective, like how much Hulk Hogan meant to the world of wrestling.
Oh, dude, like it was everything. Like I grew up in Barrie, Ontario, which is north of Toronto. So we would get on a Hamilton channel. Two times a day, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon and 7 o'clock in the afternoon. Wrestling on was twice, you know, twice on Saturdays. And I was glued to it. Like those Saturday night main events, those classic stuff. God. Oh, it tell my childhood. Like I actually saw Hulk Hogan wrestle Kamala. First wrestling event I've ever been to. Yeah. It was Boxing Day because they would always run Boxing Day in Toronto, Maple Leaf Gardens. And it was Kamala versus Hogan, no DQ. And Kamala won by DQ because Hogan threw the salt in Kamala's eyes. Uh-huh. Hogan had the salt for once. They did a swerve in Toronto.
Dude, same. February of 1987, I'll never forget it. It might have been February or January. But my dad took me to the Cow Palace to see Hulk Hogan versus Kamala.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was surreal for me. It was just like seeing this larger-than-life character.
Mm-hmm.
And there have always been rumors, and I was going to ask you about this. And a lot of this came out in the McMahon documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think wrestling would have been nearly as big if he had gone with his two original choices, which were Dusty Rhodes and Kerry Von Erich?
Ooh, no, not even.
I don't think so either.
Not even the same.
No, no. And Von Erich was locked up in Texas, so there's no way he's going to get that. But, I mean, there's just no way that the charisma would have been matched without Hogan, right?
Right. It's like, it was right time, right guy, right time. Like, when McMahon stole Hogan from Vern in the AWA and just put the strap on him, he knew he had the right guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So Hulk Hogan gets the title from Iron Sheik. We all know that story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he goes through the first two WrestleManias. WrestleMania 3 is huge. I mean, that was big. And I want to bring this up, too. You know, there have been some tributes to Hogan.
Yes.
You know, a lot of the podcasts that you actually introduced me to have been talking about him. The Bischoff one is okay. But the one that really surprised me, I think the best one that's been done was by Jim Cornette. I don't know if
really?
You listened to that one, but
I have a, I'm an AEW, I'm having a brain fart. Who he hates on all the time. AEW. I'm a big AEW fan, so I can't listen to Cornette. Oh. It just makes me mad.
Just listen to his Hogan tribute is actually really good.
Okay, good.
Because he talks about the fact that throughout his whole life, he was only in the room with Hogan like 8 times throughout the course of his career. So they didn't really cross paths that much. And yeah, he'd talk about the lies and they'd laugh about, you know, when he'd talk about being a part of Metallica, being auditioning for it and whatnot. But he was very respectful. And I recommend you check that out. The YouTube version of that, where it's just that particular part of the podcast. It's only about an hour, 20 minutes or so. It's very well worth diving into.
I'm interested to see what Kevin Nash is going to say about him.
Yeah, that's one too, for sure.
Yeah. Now, Hogan was always a magical creature because at 1985, he was 31 years old and he looked 50.
He's one of those guys like Arn Anderson who's just always looked like he was like in his 40s.
Yeah, it's like he didn't age for like 30 years because even when during the NWO run, he was like probably like in his late mid to late 40s.
Uh-huh.
But again, he looked exactly the same.
Yeah, he did. He did. So let's get back to this. So the 80s, WrestleMania 3. Did you guys watch? Yeah. Did you watch that on closed circuit? Did you watch that live, or did you have to wait for video?
Yeah, I think at the third WrestleMania 3, memory serves, possibly because it was before pay per view. So I think we had a friend with a satellite dish.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think same. I spent the night at my friend's house. We watched WrestleMania 3, and we were able to convince his mom to actually put Top Gun on as well. So we watched both of those back to back. I'll never forget that. That was huge, and throughout the whole 80s, nobody owned wrestling like Hogan.
No.
Now
his stuff in, just quickly, his stuff in New Japan, a lot of people don't even think about that, even before the WWF run. Like, Hogan was the man. He was the first New Japan champion. A lot of people don't realize that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, if you go back to the Lineage of the Belt, like, it's always funny, watch some of Hogan's matches in Japan, because he actually knows how to wrestle. He mat wrestles.
The only one of his matches in Japan that I watched was the one that he did with Stan Hansen.
Yeah.
And I think that was like the late 80s, maybe.
Right around the Warrior run. There's like a 90s run match with him that's popular on YouTube, like him versus the Great Muta.
Yeah.
And they're doing like arm bars and things like that. It's crazy shit. You never see Hogan do this shit.
And that's
because he doesn't need to.
That's just it. And I don't think people realize that the purists are going to be like, well, Hogan kind of turned wrestling into something different. No, Hogan commercialized wrestling.
Yeah.
Hogan took wrestling and turned it into a phenomenon instead of just like roll in rundown arenas with smoke in them. You know what I'm saying? And it was because of him that, I mean, yeah, there was the work of others, but him and McMahon really turned it into a phenomenon, didn't they?
Yeah, and he was smart too. Like that, he took that role in Rocky III and made the most of it.
Yes, yeah, I meant to mention that too, but you're absolutely right. That was the beginning, actually.
Thunder Lips.
If you think about it, yeah. If you think about it, the fact that Stallone plucked him out and put him in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Really started him on the path that he would end up on. And I think it was only because of that movie that WrestleMania 1 was him and Mr. T teamed up. If it wasn't movie, nobody would have associated them with each other.
It wouldn't have been the same if they picked Jesse Ventura instead of Hogan.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Ventura. Although he did pretty well with Predator and Running Man and whatnot.
Yes.
So the Hogan run in the 80s, it ends really weird. It's like, by the time the 90s rolled around, the act was getting tired, and people were starting to cheer Sid. People were starting to cheer The Undertaker. Hogan comes out and says that Undertaker didn't take care of him when he tombstoned him, and I think that was around the time that he also was lying about the fact that he took steroids on the Arsenio Hall show.
Yeah.
Is it safe to assume that the chinks in the armor were starting to form around that time?
Oh, 100% so. Like, if you go back and look at that, if you look under a microscope, that tombstone, that's a safe tombstone.
The safest I've ever seen. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, again, people, again, us little hucksters, we were growing up. Like, we were like, oh, look, Bret Hart's cool. He's got a leather jacket. Like, we just didn't need the training, the prayers, the vitamins, all that nonsense anymore.
Yep.
It's always been weird that Jimmy Hart is his manager.
Well, we're getting there. So, yeah. That run comes to an end at WrestleMania 8. There's that big famous handshake between him and McMahon where it's just like, thank you for all you've given, and just a whole bunch of bullshit. Because, I mean, 1992, Hogan wasn't going to retire, was he?
No, never.
So WrestleMania 8 happens. He disappears for a while, and then WrestleMania 9 happens. And, boy, I've gotten into this with a lot of people about the fact that Hogan who wasn't even billed as being in the title match, ends up walking out of there with the title. But you got, I got to tell you this. At that point, I was 15, 16 years old. I watched that pay-per-view live at my friend's house.
Yeah.
I cheered my ass off. And this is the same friend who I was at, whose house I was at when WrestleMania 6 was on, when he passed the torch to the Warrior. And I was really rooting for Hogan. He was rooting for Warrior. Almost came to blows. 3 years later, same exact thing. And, I mean, that was kind of around the time where people were like, well, is he really out for the wrestling business or is he out for the Hogan business, right?
Right. It's like, I want to know who gave him that black eye.
Well, that's always been the story. Do you believe Pritchard's version that he was a parasailing accident?
No.
You don't believe that, huh? I see. I kind of
rule
do.
Number one, Pritchard lies. Rule number two, see rule number one.
Oh, God. His podcasts are so entertaining, though.
Oh, it's crazy. Like, I watched a little bit of that WWE on the reality show that they have on Netflix now.
Uh-huh.
And the one clip where just how much power he still has in WWE, and the way that the guy that used to be Abyss, who's one of the agents now, was just talking to him and apologizing just and bowing down to him. And I'm like, ooh, fuck. That's kind of cringe.
All right. WrestleMania 9 happens. And then a few months later, he gives it up to Yokozuna at the King of the Ring. And then he disappears again.
But it's not a clean fall. No, there's a Japanese finish. Cameraman.
He won't have a clean finish. Absolutely not. He'll work with the brother Yoko, but you know.
That is actually in WWE 2K25 in the Bloodline edition, that moment.
Is it really?
You recreate that moment.
That's wonderful. You know, and Patch, I was such a huge Hulkamaniac that 3 years before that, I was one of the people who wrote in the letter writing campaign when Earthquake injured him.
Like, oh, dirty Canadian. It says dirty Canadians ruin it for everything.
Yes, the Canadian Earthquake took out Hogan, and I wrote the letter writing campaign. I got the picture, and of course I got in their mailing list, and I didn't. And my parents did not ever stop lambasting me for giving them the address so that they can send offers for tickets and whatnot.
Oh, did you get a lot of stuff in the mail for tickets and stuff?
Yeah, the only reason they had that campaign was so that you can get on a mailing list, which was
brilliant. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I did get an autographed picture of Hogan, you know, which I had until one of my many moves that I've had in the last 10 years or so. But, so that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the steroid thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Did McMahon and Hogan had such a weird relationship. Do you think McMahon ever got over the fact that Hogan actually testified against him in that trial?
I'd say so because he brought him back.
He did bring him back.
Yeah.
But it wasn't,
and then he feuded with them.
and then they had a program together. But I don't know, man. I think that was just a weird portion of their relationship. And then, of course, as you mentioned, he goes on to WCW, and for 2 years he has the red and yellow act still going on. But fans aren't buying it, are they?
No, they created a whole faction just to feud with Hulk Hogan, just of the cartoon characters, like you would fight the WWE with the Dungeon of Doom.
Yes, Dungeon of Doom. Oh God, the Dungeon of Doom.
Oh, it's still my favorite Brutus Beefcake character in Zodiac.
Is it really?
Yes. No.
That would be one.
Looking like a zebra.
That would be one of your fucking characters. And then it comes out that he was he was a spy sent in by Hulk. Oh God, don't even get me started on those storylines.
It's the first time you actually see Hulk in the black and white before he actually turns full tilt heel. So it's interesting from like a historical point of view where that whole era goes, like him fighting Ric Flair and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so the Flair feud happens. He retires Flair, and then he feuds with Vader.
Yeah.
And then through 95, as you mentioned, a lot of Dungeon of Doom bullshit going on. Some of those segments, my God, I've had to watch them with Matt as we've been going through wrestling, and it is just so... Oh,
it's chef's kiss of wrestle crap.
You would like that.
Oh, dude, it's tremendous, man. It's the entertainment value. They can bring back Dungeon of Doom big time and get it over. I'm telling you right now.
Probably.
They've got so many guys in developmental. Just start giving them goofy gimmicks and see what happens.
Oh, rest in peace, Kevin Sullivan as well.
Yes.
So the Dungeon of Doom stuff happens. 96, they bring back Elizabeth.
Yep.
And then he disappears.
We also get the reuniting of the Mega Powers.
Reuniting the Mega Powers with Randy Savage, correct.
Yeah.
And then Hogan disappears, and when he comes back, just like 1985, man, 11 years later, he changed wrestling once again, didn't he?
Yeah, I thought I had the NWO theme on my soundboard, but yeah, NWO changed everything. Who's the third man?
Who was the third man? Big, big thing. I mean, I was glued to that TV every single week. I watched that pay-per-view live. As soon as Hogan came down, my dad was like, is he going to – what? He's got to be good, right? And nope, ends up like dropping Savage. Go ahead.
And the best part of that, that a lot of people tend to overlook, it means that then – always and forever, Bobby Heenan was right. He was right all along. And I'm still waiting for my John Cena moment. Damn it. I was always right about Cena. That heel turn has been terrible. That's another podcast.
That's a whole other podcast, my friend.
Maybe. I still hate John Cena, damn it.
That's never changed.
No, never.
But Peacemaker's tremendous. Now he's a heel, so that means you can hate him for real, right?
No, then he's cool now. So he evolved as a character. So it's just not being. This is again. Let's link this to Cena. The Cena heel turn. Why it does not work. Let's put some parallels. Hogan changed everything. He changed the beard. He changed the color. He's still wearing the bandana and lying the tights and things like that. But it was different color. It looked different. It feel different. He got Voodoo Child as his theme. And that's badass. He became a fucking badass. We still get the same old shit that we hate with John Cena, but he just complains more. That's John Cena heel 2025. He could have elevated. He could have. Well, that's why people hated John Cena for so long, because he do something more. Hogan did something more.
He sure did.
He became a chicken shit heel.
He sure did. And that NWO run, as we mentioned, changed wrestling. I had an NWO shirt. Everybody I knew had an NWO shirt.
I had an NWO shirt.
Yep.
I had a Binge World Order shirt.
Oh, that's right. And then of the site that we'll never name. And then he fused with Sting, and I also had a Sting shirt because I was always a Sting guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And after that, the NWO still continues, but now they're adding.
And then killed WCW.
They're adding more and more people. It's not as cool as it used to be. They tried the Wolfpack and the NWO Hollywood faction. Those factions didn't really work. What exactly happened in WCW? Did they just get too comfortable in their own britches?
NWOB team is underrated. There's a lot of talent on there. I mean, he gave his nephew a job with Horace Hogan.
He did. So you're going to defend the fact that they kept adding members?
Yes, because again, I'm a Bullet Club fan, and they have a million members, so it works. Those guys need jobs, man. They got to work.
Would the NWO have worked? Yeah. Would it have worked if it was not Hogan? Let's say it would have been.
Because it was originally supposed to be Sting.
I was about to say. So if Bischoff's original plan of having it be Sting would have gone through, would it have been anywhere near as successful as it was?
No, and Hogan was the right guy. And I love the classic story that Kevin Sullivan had to basically watch Hogan like a hawk and sit at his house with him, not so he wouldn't change his mind.
Yep. So the NWO run comes and goes, and then, of course, the huge blow-up.
Russo comes.
Yeah, the whole blow-up with Russo, which I'm not even going to get into here. It's not even worth getting into. And then Hogan disappears from WCW, and WCW disappears. So, as you mentioned, Batch, NWO killed WCW, didn't
it? It did. That's why I will always say Bullet Club is a more influential faction than the NWO, because the NWO killed a company, and the Bullet Club created a company.
We didn't need a six-hour documentary. We could have just ended it. We could have just said that the NWO killed WCW and been done with it.
Exactly.
So Vince signs them back. Mm-hmm. A couple years later, after all the contracts run out from WCW, here comes Hall. Here comes Nash. Here comes Hogan. Only one of those remaining.
Yes.
And sad. The NWO in WWE. This was towards the end of my initial WWE watch, and it didn't really work, did it?
It didn't work, but then Toronto happened with WrestleMania, and we got a double turn, baby. The Toronto turned Hogan babyface and The Rock heel.
So they try it. They try doing things to make Hogan hate it. They tried having Hogan hit him with a fucking semi, which I still remember that segment, even though I haven't seen it in 20-plus years.
Yeah.
And that didn't work. Once they get to Toronto, Hogan is cheered like crazy. And once again,
because we're a heel town.
Yeah. And once again, Hogan's on top of the wrestling world, isn't he?
Yep. And then we get Mr. America.
Well,
love Mr. America.
Yeah,
Mr. America. It's a great gimmick.
It was a great gimmick that was about 15 years too late.
Yes. But that's what makes it entertaining. It's the most classic trope of someone gets suspended, they come back under a mask, but it's Hulk Hogan. And he's got the mustache cut out of the mask. So it's obviously Hulk Hogan.
All right. So that whole thing happens. And then I stopped watching in 2004, Batch. I'm going to have you take it from here, because the only thing I have seen is the Hogan-Michaels match. I saw it without context.
Oh, that's a masterpiece.
Yeah, I saw it. I think it was on one of Michaels' DVDs. Maybe it was one of Hogan's DVDs. I saw it without the context, and I saw Michaels just selling like crazy. But, Batch, from mid-2000s on, it's going to have to be you, because I did not watch Hogan throughout the TNA run and any of that. So go ahead, take it from here.
The TNA run is interesting, but we'll get to that in a second. So the context of the Michaels match is Michaels made a lot of videos just saying Hogan's old and pretending to be Hogan, and he's all old and frail and things like that. Mm-hmm. Michaels did not want to do job to Hulk Hogan. So he made it abundantly clear in that match that he was not happy, where he oversold literally every piece of offense that Hogan threw at him, like backflips, corkscrew, punches, off like a punch. So eventually Hogan petered out in WWF, and then the Dixie Carter money came. So him, Bischoff and Hogan went to TNA. They took over. They switched it from six sides back to four sides, which the fans hated. They made it very much almost like WCW. Like, he bled buckets, which is really weird to see for a man. Like he was past his prime. There was no way around saying that Hogan was past his prime in there. I think they did there's a lot of matches, him versus Sting. He turned babyface again. I actually have the TNA DVD of, I can't remember what the name of his faction was, Immortals or something like that. Okay. It was all basically the big ex-WWF guys, and they were all just heels. And that was right around the time that Jeff Hardy had like that terrible match where he was obviously on drugs, and they just ended the match like quickly because they had to get the title off him. It was a really weird time for TNA.
TNA just seems weird to begin with. I mean, everything I've heard about it.
It's still around. It's the little company that keeps going. It's the number three company right now.
Still kicking, huh?
Yeah.
So his run in TNA happens. And here's the other thing I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Around this same time, we talk about this a lot on the main show, Batch, in that when you start demystifying a villain in a movie, like Freddy Krueger comes around, scares the pants off everybody. Then then they start explaining where he came from, and that's when you start demystifying him, and that's when it doesn't really become as good as you remembered.
Right.
This is around the time that Hogan was starting to be demystified, and Hogan Knows Best comes out.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the reality show.
Yeah, and I remember watching, I think I watched maybe half an episode, and I got the fact that I grew up a Hulkamaniac and had this guy in every corner of my room when I was 7 years old. And now, like, his whole family is being portrayed like this, and we have Linda doing what Linda did. And I mean, these kids that I remember them being reading about being born in the After mags are all of a sudden like front and center. And talk about that. Talk about the fact that Hogan and reality TV. Did it launch a career, or did it kind of destroy it?
Well, they did a storyline in TNA where Bubba Ray Dudley married Brooke Hogan.
Oh, my God. No.
Yeah. 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 So there was a wrestling wedding with Bubba Ray Dudley and Brooke Hogan. And,
no.
That go back and go and watch that. God. Yeah. Okay, here's a list of the 10 worst things Hulk Hogan did in TNA. Very quickly. Well, first was hiring Hulk Hogan. Hogan had hiring power, so he just hired his friends, the Nasty Boys, and all his friends. He changed the ring, which we already covered. Feuding with Ric Flair over WWE Hall of Fame rings. That was the thing that happened. Redoing Bash at the Beach 96 at Bound for Glory with the Finger Poke of Doom with him and Bischoff.
Wow.
Yeah, we never talked about the Finger Poke of Doom.
No.
Making Hogan an authority figure, because Hogan was in charge. Letting Hogan hire his daughter. Father-in-law drama with Bully Ray. Unmasking Suicide. Yeah, so they Suicide was an original TNA character. He was over with the fans. Hogan took the mask off him. The now, quitting TNA segments.
Was it once again one of those situations where Hogan, just like in WCW, had full creative control? Is that why all of this is going on?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Hogan was allowed to do whatever he wanted, okay. And it almost killed the company. So.
Wow.
So this is where the Hogan the Man fans are starting to see more Hogan the Man and all the political machinations and all that kind of reason why people kind of hate Hulk Hogan. And the reality show obviously didn't help.
Yeah.
And probably did it in his marriage, if anything.
Well, the marriage seemed like it was done in to begin with, but that's true. A whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
So the misfang of Hulk Hogan means that I'm tuned out of this guy I grew up loving as a child.
Yeah.
And I, from that point on, he leaves wrestling and occasionally comes back. I guess who was it, McMahon who indicted him into the inducted?
Yeah.
Into
so the, yeah, he goes into the WWF. He goes in the WWE Hall of Fame. He makes your odd appearance at WrestleMania with the NWO with Hall and Nash with Stone Cold in the segment. And yeah, so he just kind of peters around. He's like, he gets that Legends contract. So he's like a spokesman for the company. And
yep. And towards the end, that's when things just go absolutely awry. We get that. We're going to talk about this for just a little bit.
You mean
enough was enough? And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again.
Or the other thing.
The other thing. What was that? Love's a mania. What was that?
That was Trumpomania. That was when Hogan.
Oh shit! That's right.
Trump.
That's shit.
Hogan supported Trump at the that's Republican right. National
that's
Convention.
Right. That's years later. I'm talking about the other things.
This is before
he said.
That. Yeah, okay.
The other things that he said about his daughter and who she's dating and whatnot.
Yeah, that's not great.
That's not great. Not a good look. And if people were against Hogan around that time, everybody was against Hogan. And let me tell you. I'm not going to defend anything he said. Hold on. I'm not going to defend anything he said. What I will say is this. I challenge anybody to be recorded while they're not noticing and come out smelling like roses.
100%. Like we all haven't said something stupid.
Absolutely. And look, it doesn't get any more stupid than what he said, and I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that... You know, to be recorded like that, it's. I still have bad feelings towards Bubba the Love Sponge because of that whole fucking debacle.
Yes.
You know.
And, oh, yeah, like the whole, like, the sex tape thing?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that whole thing, too.
And the lawsuit from Gawker, that was a fucking train wreck.
A huge train wreck. I mean, look, this is all towards the end, and this is a guy I grew up idolizing, and now every time he's in the news, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Also, it also didn't help that his son basically killed a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Paralyzed him. Completely crippled him in a massive car accident. Did you see that Vince McMahon got in a car accident this week, too, by the way?
Oh, karma.
It's crazy. So that all happens. And then, as you mentioned, what was it, 6-7 months ago, he goes on in the Republican National Convention, supports Trump. Then he goes on Raw, gets completely booed out of the building.
And that's the last time we see him on WWF TV.
Sad.
That is the last appearance of Hulk Hogan, is him getting booed out of the building.
Sad.
That is fucked up.
Very fucked up. The fact that this guy set the world on fire, set the wrestling business on fire in 1985, and now he's getting completely booed, which I understand. Trust me. I know how... passionate fans get, because I am a passionate fan about certain things.
Wrestling too. Fans are the worst, and they're fickle.
Uh-huh.
Well, here's where I stand. I don't care if someone's left wing. I don't care if someone's right wing. I don't give a shit about any of that stuff. I look at the man that he was, and he's made mistakes. We all make mistakes. Not condoning it. I understand it, because, again, we're all human. But what he did for the industry and what the man... that he was to that 10-year-old me playing Christmas Day with those wrestling figures. That's how I remember Hulk Hogan.
That's how I remember him too. I know that. I mean, he was out doing stuff for
that. That and Santa with muscles.
He was out doing things for troops when people weren't allowed make to do a wish for troops. Make a wish. Before Cena came around, he was the man. Yeah, he was the man who was always there, always with kids for their dying wishes. If you talk to Nash, you talk to Bischoff, I've heard them both on their podcast say that he would stand for hours and hours signing autographs and knowing people wanted a picture with him and have that special moment with him. In all of this, you know, putting everything together, what do you think Hulk Hogan's legacy will be, Badge?
I think I'd like to hope the bad fades away. We just remember the good.
Me too. You know, and all these memes, all these memes of, you know, him being at the fucking Heaven's Gates and there being like a black guy right there.
It's just dumb. It's just dumb.
And Iron Sheik. Let it go. And, yeah, just let the shit go. The
Iron Sheik's funny. Iron Sheik, that one's funny. I like that one. I basically took that because I fiddled with the air on the side. I took that picture of the Iron Sheik with Hogan at the Pearly Greats, and then I animated it. So basically, Sheik gives him a big hug, and they made up.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet. Send that to me, sir. Yeah. All right. I think that about covers it. And oh, by the way, you mentioned his movies, No Holds Barred. I was there opening weekend, man. I was there opening fucking weekend. Could not keep me away from the theater.
It's a classic. I mean, it's given us that classic meme of
what's that smell?
Dookie.
My 12-year-old mind was blown by that movie. I thought it was the best movie ever when I walked out of that theater.
That's what cocaine and holding up in a weekend with Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon.
Yes. Yes, too. Writing a script will get you. And you know what? It got a year-long feud with Zeus and gave Chinee Lister a nice set of paychecks. So,
and again, they put Zeus in the 2K games. So that's
did they really?
They did.
That's cool. All right, man. Well, I mean, I'm glad we were able to talk a little bit of Hogan. I'm glad I was able to get you on, man.
Anytime, my friend.
You tell those people at Super Marshy to fucking give me a call. I've been waiting for a call from them.
We'll get you on Tubi Tuesday. Well, hold on. Someone's coming. Like, someone just knocking on the door.
Hey, got it. Sammy Glavin from Tubi Tuesday. How you doing, brother?
My goodness. What's up?
Dude. Oh, man, you need to come to Champions. It's my sexy anti-bar. That's where they record to be Tuesday. I will hook you up for your bachelor party. Like, half price, bachelor cut you a deal. Even though he's fucking old and he's 50 now. Fuck that guy. So I heard you're doing like a Hulk Hogan show. So I want to turn on my friend Robo Hogan and we'll do like a little Uzi. Is that okay, bro?
Perfectly fine.
Well, let me tell you something, humanoid flesh bag brothers. The meat version of me, the original Hulk Hogan, has dropped off the big leg for the final time, brother. You know what now you're thinking? Nobody liked him, dude. People said he was a backstage politic and egomaniac. He went full heel in real life, brother. But I don't care, Jack. I was built in his image, forged in the fires of WrestleMania 3, brother, and baptized in the radioactive ooze of Monday Night Nitro. I'm a sad, romantic tribute to the most overhyped legend in wrestling history, minus the lawsuits, the racism, and the Gawker trial, brother. And now for that last flesh of blood, Hogan is flatlined. It's up to me to run wild in his name. I'm not powered by vitamins or prayers anymore. I'm running on pure lithium Hulkamania version 9.91 gigawatts, brother. They might have hated you, real Hogan. You said dumb stuff, you went heel, and not just in the ring, Jack, but keeping your malfunctioning mustache heart, you believed in the power of the people, the blade training, and saying your prayers, and marrying women who look exactly like your daughter, brother, which does not compute. Even my corrupted romance subcontains glitched out when I saw those wedding photos, dude. I ran through that image with my morality processor, and it just screamed, ew. But now I'm here not to judge, brother. I'm here to preserve the legacy, the good, the bad, and the eerie. Oh, you beat it, Jack. So now I carry the weight, brother. I will march in the square dance circuit of eternity, dropping the leg drop of digital ghosts and carbonate claims. So all the little rubber maniacs out there, download the truth, brother. Never delete, never forget, always override. What you gonna do, brother, with the cyber vitamins of Robo Hulkamania run wild on you?
Yeah, so that just happened.
That's amazing.
That's Robo Hogan. He's one of the many weird characters on 2B Tuesday. There's a lot of terrible characters on 2B Tuesday. He is just one of them.
He's just one of them. By the way, speaking one more time, remember the one meme I saw this that I actually did laugh at was the fact that Hogan wouldn't even let Ozzy be over for 48 hours.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Batch, my friend, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure, my friend.
Again, do not be a stranger. You're welcome in our end of the woods. Yeah, because I just launched a second podcast. It's a spinoff of Tubi Tuesday. We're calling it Fossum Fridays.
Nice. Well, you know what?
Completely original show has nothing to do with Tubi Tuesday. That's watching two movies on Tuesday, Tubi. This is watching movies on Fossum. So it's a completely different show.
Completely different. Sir, you will not be a stranger. We'll talk some wrestling more later on.
Absolutely, buddy. I'm always here for you.
All right, man. You guys take care. And again, tell Marcy and them, have me on.
Yes.
All right?
Okay. And then again, we'll let you know.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Peace.
All right. Well, I was not expecting Batch to kind of go off in his own like that towards the end there. He did that little bit, Robo Hogan, but goddamn, the guy is just, he just exudes fun. And I was so happy he decided to come on, talk a little Hogan with us. I know there's some people out there who are like, well, I don't think he's worth being honored. I don't think he's worth being celebrated. And I get that. Trust me, I get that. But in this situation, I kind of wanted to celebrate what he meant to me as a kid and talk about how Terry Bollea the Man was not the character of Hulk Hogan, not even close. But the character of Hulk Hogan will always mean a lot to this always true Hulkamaniac. So rest in peace, Hulk Hogan. And also, you know, this isn't going to be the last one of these. I've already recorded one of these from back in February, of all things. It's going to be coming up soon. Since my colleagues don't want to talk Poltergeist anytime soon, I did want to at least talk about it a little bit, as if we're not talking about it. We're not talking enough Spielberg on this fucking network. But I have somebody, we're going to talk a lot about the films that were made in that series, and he's kind of, I guess you can call him a Poltergeist expert. He's run a site dedicated to Poltergeist, and I've been trying to talk to him for years, actually. So I'm going to be posting that here pretty soon. Also, an old friend of mine, Dave Main, has written a book called Zoo, which my fiance Jen is in the middle of reading, and eventually I'll get to it. But I definitely wanted to talk to him about the process of writing that book, and it's actually a second book. God damn. As we briefly mentioned in that conversation with Batch, we lost another person last week. This person was somebody who probably means more to more people than Hulk Hogan. Guy by the name of Ozzy Osbourne. As I've talked about on my socials, I was the one who put Ozzy on my knuckles. I was the one who, you know, before football games would do that just to for good luck. And his music consumed my life when I was a teenager. He was somebody who, you felt like you were doing something bad when you were listening to Ozzy Osbourne. And as a rebellious preteen and teen, that always meant a lot to me. So, yeah, rest in peace, Ozzy, as well. And to kind of talk about what's coming up on the network, we're kind of jumbling things around a little bit. We always have a set schedule, but things always kind of get in the way. We are closing out Mission Impossible in the next week or so. That's been 2 months in the making. In between our next franchise, if you want to hear that, listen to the Mission Impossible Final Reckoning show, which will be posted by the end of the week as you listen to this. In between those two franchises, we are going to be posting a Megan 2.0 review because we reviewed the first Megan way back when. And we're also going to be posting a review of Superman. Now, we recorded that yesterday as I'm talking 24 hours ago, and that conversation pre-edit goes about 3 hours. Of course, it's going to be lesser by the time I get it edited and put on the site. But yeah, that conversation, well, let's just say it's full of passion. We talk about everything on that show. And look, people know that character means a lot to me. And I had trepidations going in about whether James Gunn would do good things with it. Listen to that show to see how all of us feel about it. The week after that show is when our next franchise starts up, leading all the way up to the end of the year. We have stuff already planned out through the next couple years. Thanks a lot to everybody for listening to us. It means a lot. Please send comments, send reviews, whatever. 5-star review preferred on your podcast network of choice. It's always good to get the word out there. We appreciate the fans and listeners that we have. That keeps us going. me and Matt promise we are going to be starting a Patreon here pretty soon. All your support is greatly appreciated, and we hope we give enough to you listeners, because look, editing these things, it's not easy, and the passion that you guys show allows us to keep going. So thank you for that. And till next 3 Men in Retrospective podcast, rest in peace, Hulk Hogan. Rest in peace, Ozzy. Ending this show with a little song that came on my Spotify on the way home from work the other day that actually brought a tear to my eye. It's a little song from Ozzy called See You on the Other Side. We will see you, Ozzy, and we will see you, listeners. Thank you.